Okay. Okay, we're on Daf Lamed Daled tonight. So let me just go over one line of the Mishnah. Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph 33a. Okay, today's Lamed Daled, though, but I just want to go over. So if you look at four lines from the bottom on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah says, Ein Motzin Or, Lomen Ha'etzim V'Lomen Ha'Avanim, that we don't produce fire on Yantiv. He says we don't produce fire from wood, like rubbing one piece of wood against another or two stones against another. For lo man ha'afar, you have very hard earth, and in some way there's a way to create a spark with it. For lo man ha'ra'afim, we don't like with not with tiles, like also the same idea. For lo man ha'mayim, so Rashi learns the water would be in a glass vessel, and somehow it could, you know, heat the glass, and then you could ignite something with it. And then the Mishnah says, v'im alavdin ha'ra'afim l'slopahem, we don't heat up tiles, it means like these would be roof tiles in order to fry something on them. Okay, so it's now also one of the Mishnah. Let's look at the Mishnah. Okay, so Rashi says in Mosinra or Rashi says Mishum de Molid. Rashi says problem molded. We'll see in a minute. So turn on Lamed Gimel Beis now. So four lines from the bottom, five lines in Mosinra or Bechulei. So why can't we produce fire on Yantav? It means we can't create a fire. We can light one fire from another fire, but we cannot not allow to create a fire. My tamish would become only biyantav. Because we molid biyantav. So there's different. You certainly have different approaches with this. Let me cover some ground and let me see how we do time wise. But suffice to say, Rashi learns it's prohibited on a drabbanon level. In other words, it comes a little strange the way I think people would normally think. People normally think, like the worst of Eira on Shabbos is lighting a fire, and on Shabbos, though, sometimes hold it's a lav. It's not even, you know, a chiv skil or a chiv kari. You know, it's avar lav yitzad. And then on Yantiv, the way Rashi learns, it's only prohibited on a Rabbanan level to light a fire, because it's molid. Molid is Rabbanan. I'm creating something new. All right, let's see further in the Gemara, and then we'll pause. We'll take in a little bit later. We said we can't heat up these tiles to fry on the tiles. So Micah Abed, what's wrong with heating up a tile? What's wrong with that? So Amar Rabbi Bar Barchana Rabbi Yochanan, Hachav Rafim Chadashim Askinan. So Rabbi Barchana is talking about Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah is talking about new tiles. He says Mitnei Shsrich Labadkan, that Rashi learns that you have to check it ahead of time whether it can withstand the heat. So in other words, I might heat it up and then it might break apart. So Rashi learns, it'll come up, the second line in Rashi, Vishtaka the Tarak Shalot Tzorech. So Rashi learns it's prohibited on a Drabbanan level to heat up tiles, because I might heat up the tiles. I don't know what temperature gets up with the heated tiles, but let's assume we get up to 500 degrees. And then when I get to 400 degrees, the tile breaks apart. Now I can't use it. So I'm doing tircha shalot tzorech. So all my effort up till now was unnecessary. So Rashi learns that sounds like it would be on a drabban level, not let's do it. And then the Gemara says on the top line in the Gemara, va'amri lo, others say leishtrich lechasman. Others want to say that when I heat it up, I'm actually hardening it. So here it's working out differently. He says, let's look at Rashi. Va'amri lo shitzarich lechasman. In the Rashi, Lahakutan, the Hesek Rishon, came at Chazkin and Kashim. With the first time it's fired up, they become very strong. Hilchach Apogab the Surah Yantiv Namihu, even though this is Surah Yantiv, right? It's in other words, we would say it's like Mashiri Ochol Nefesh, right? So we went through Mashiri Ochol Nefesh, according to the Tanah of Yehuda, he permits Mashiri Ochol Nefesh on Yantiv. But that's only if I could not have done it before Yantiv. So one way to say is to say that I should have done this before. In other words, according to second Lashon, Mashiri Ochel Nefesh are only allowed before Yantiv. I didn't do it before Yantiv, so I'm not allowed to do it on Yantiv. But Rashi says that, it sounds like from Rashi, and this is Shita the Ran, Rashi holds that even Mashiri Ochel Nefesh, I'm not allowed to create a kli. It was with Mashiri Ochel Nefesh, I cannot create a kli. So from this Rashi, it sounds like if this is the behesik then asa kli asur, that I'm making a kli through this. So that I'm not allowed to do, even for, okay, just please, we're just 2 minutes, okay? So it says, even the behesik then asa kli, it's asur, it's prohibited. All right. Which one is it? All right. Okay. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Now, the Gemara is going to connect our sugi here with the sugi Masechet Chulin. So the second line on Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, not on time. We learn the Mishnah Masechet Chulin. Drasa, you have a bird and somebody, stepped on the bird. Oshatar from a kotel, or he like pressed it into a wall. Oshatsatsa behema, or an animal crushed it. But the bird is still fluttering. And it lived on for another 24 hours. He says, v'shachatpa, and then he shecht it. So the bird is kshera. So here, what the Gemara is addressing is one of the trepos. We know the Mishnah and the Sefer Kula mentions 18 different trepos. And then the Rambam divides that into 70. So there's 18 trepos. So one of the trepos is naflamin agag, if the animal falls off the roof. So there's an idea the Rashi explains over there, like risuk evarim. Risuk evarim is if the animal goes through a concussion or the organs go through a concussion. So that itself constitutes a trefa. But if the animal lives another 24 hours, then I'm not choshesh for risuk evarim. So I'm through for that. And nothing to worry about risuk evarim. So here, the Mishnah is saying that it went through a traumatic experience, this bird. But since it survived 24 hours, I'm not worried about risuk evarim. But then the Gemara says on line 4, Amar Blazer Bar Yanai, Blazer Bar Yanai says, Mishum Rav Blazer Ben Antignos, this is not the Mishnah, this is the Gemara now. He says, Tzricha Bedika, that the bird, when I sheft it, requires a Bedika, because it could have other problems. It could have one of the other trefos, like its ribs could all be broken, or something like Mishtabu Rav Slao Tel, something like that. So that's the halacha from Sechet Chulin. So Gaimini Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Zeira, so Rabbi Yirmi opposed the following question to Rabbi Zeira, Ma'ulu Shachta B'yomtov. Am I allowed to shecht a bird like that on Yontov? In other words, this bird that went through this traumatic experience and it was either stomped by an animal or crushed by a human and then it survived 24 hours, but it's saying I still have to check out the organs when I shecht it because it might be a trefa from something else. It might be like the Shtab Rob's Fatel, might have another trefa because of what it went through. So am I allowed to shecht that bird on Yontov? Let's take a look. He says, do I have to assume that perhaps it has a reyuta? In other words, by most animals, I assume the animal is not a trefa. I assume most animals are not trefo. So I go forward and I'm only allowed to shecht an animal if it's not a trefa on Yontiv. So I assume that most animals are not trefos, and that goes in with the rov. But this bird, maybe it's in a different category because of what it went through. Even though it's not risuk evarim because it survived 24 hours, but it could have another one of the trefas as the result of the experience. So Amarle, so this is the question that that Rabbi Yirmi posed to Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira says to him, Amarle, now we're connecting up to our Mishnah. So Amarle, so Rabbi Zeira says back to him, Tanina, we learned the answer to this in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein malabdin arufayim l'slopahen. You're not allowed to heat up tiles, roof tiles, in order to fry on them. But Bab, we were always taking that Mishnah. We asked the following question: Ma'ika Abed, what's wrong with heating up a tile on Yontif? But Amar Rabbi Barachana Yochanan, and Rabbi Barachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and we had this just a few lines ago. We're dealing with new tiles. That you have to. It may, in other words, it may crack when you heat it up. So then I'm going to do a tirka shlod tzorech. So it sounds like I do have to be concerned. If there's like a possibility it could crack, then I can't go forward and heat it up. So similarly here, Reb Zeira is saying, like, you should not be able to check this bird because you have to be concerned with the possibility that's a trefa. So the Gemara says, so Amar Lay, so Reb Yirmi said back to Reb Zeira, Anan Mishrich Lakasman Ma'inala. We learned in the Mishnah a different shot. In other words, the way we learned the Mishnah is not because we're afraid that it's going to crack. We learned Mishrich Lakasman, because you have to harden it. And you're doing the act of hardening it by heating it up the first time. So heating it up the first time, that's a prohibited malacha. Like, well, the Daniel was thinking it could be makim patish, which makes sense. It could be makim patish, but so you don't have any proof from there, is what Rabbi Yirmi is saying. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the basic idea is we learned were really two things. First, we learned you're not allowed to light a fire on Yontif. Rashi learned it's a problem of Olid. but maybe if we have a few minutes, we'll do a little bit more on that. And then the second issue we learned is this, then we learned about heating up the tile on Yom Tov. So the heating up the tile is either a problem because I'm afraid the tile is going to break, and then I'm doing Kirchot Shlo Tzricha. I did effort that was unnecessary, so that's prohibited on a Drabban level. Or it could be that that heating it up is going to harden the tile and now turn it into a kli. So and even though it's, we would think it's Machshir Yochel Nefesh, and Machshir Yochel Nefesh I'm allowed to do, but so one way to learn is that I could have done it yesterday. The other way to learn is that that even the way the Ram learns that Machshir Yochel Nefesh is not allowed if I'm turning something into a kli. And then we can go from there. So then we said, what about shechting this bird that's like, you know, possible trefa? So if I say that I'm afraid that the tile is going to crack, so then I shouldn't be able to shech the bird. If I say I want to harden, I don't have to prove. Let me just do one or two Rashis with this, then we'll talk. Let's do the sixth narrow line of Rashi. Hachi yersin am lazer b'yanai mishum rev lazer ben tignos trika b'ika. He shot in the Rashi, the sixth narrow line in Rashi, okay? He shot tamid la'eit namit trika b'ika lo'far shchita. Even when the bird survives in the 24 hours, it still needs a b'ika. Maybe most of his ribs were broken. Or perhaps its spine was broken and its spinal cord was cut. Or one of the other trepot. Why does it require waiting 24 hours? If it doesn't wait 24 hours, in other words, if I don't wait 24 hours and I shecht it and everything looks fine, it's still trepot. Then, even though I don't see anything, everything looks anatomically okay, it's a trefa, because risukei varim is like went through this concussion. Shivarim at parking kulon, uli varim like are coming apart. The alpha pishain roshim nikarba, even though nothing is, you know, clear on it from the anatomy. But if it survives 24 hours, then you can assume it didn't go through this, whatever this recent barm, this concussion. The kimul rabbanon misinai, the chamei have a mesorah from Har Sinai. Recent barm in a chayim made late. If it goes through recent barm, it doesn't survive 24 hours. But other types of trefas, it could last for 12 months. Now, let's see. Let me do one more Rashi, and then skip one Rashi, then mechaskin reyuta. We assume that it has some problem with it. Maybe it'll turn out that the bird is a trefa. In other words, it went through this whole traumatic experience. So maybe it'll turn out to be a trefa. So other animals, even though we're machmir and we check them for different trefas, I mean, typically we, the only thing we check them for is usually to check the lungs if it's an animal. That's what we do check. He says, but we really rely on the rove. The rove behemoth ain't on trefot. Hakamai. What would be the din here? All right. Now, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far?
Kyle, you said that you were putting the oven knife break, so therefore you did something unnecessary. We can say it about cooking. You cook something and now it's burnt. So now you did the
Well, no,
but the intention was that sometimes things happen. Yeah. It's probably a minority anyway.
Yeah, so the Gemara is saying that, like, with a new tile, according to one shot, it's like there's a good likelihood that it might break. And so, Mela, according to that, Timta, so I shouldn't get involved with it. That's what he's saying. With the cooking, you're in control of all the parameters, right? In other words, if you watch it, then it won't burn. And you don't watch it, it burns. With the tile, I'm just trying to heat it up, and then it breaks. It's gone beyond my control. All right. Now, the...
you go with your intention. Your person wants to eat a certain amount of bread, and he makes it brahmana, and changes his mind or something. The intention was the right intention.
Let's focus on the malacha. Like, the malacha, so here, again, with cooking food, you know, I'm in control of all the variables, so I should not burn food. I mean, even if I burn it, but if it's skin not edible, that would be malacha shen sricha. But here, I can't control brachot. I don't know. I think it's a different category. Okay, and who's got questions from the entire world?
I have a quick question. What's the practicality of heating up a tile in the first place?
Again, you're heating up the tile because you want it to fry on the tile. I want a hot heating surface. It's like it's going to serve like your stove. I'm going to heat the tile.
It's like, you know, like a griddle.
I saw a newsreel, you know, from World War II. It was like the North Africa, the American troops. So they, the, like, the tanks got to be a zillion degrees. So that, or it was the Americans, the British. So they would just like, you know, put some oil on or some grease on the tank and break an egg and cook an egg on the tank. I got him. Anyway, that's the way it goes. Okay, now let me just say a few things, then we'll pause. All right. So we went through this sugya about the kashrut of the bird. Now he quotes over here. This is from the Alada. Rava says in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Chet, the one who murders a person who's a treifa is patur. If I murder somebody who's a treifa, I'm patur. I'm not chayev mita. I'm exempt from capital punishment because a treifa is tantamount to a dead man. He's destined to die within 12 months. So haraget a treifa, I'm patur. He says the Rivam cited by the Tosfos Rid and Shabbos on Kuf Lamed Vav asserts, based on Rava's assertion in Sanhedrin, that if one, it means it should be inflicts a wound on a treifa on Shabbos, he's exempt from a penalty. So he wants to say, the Rebbe wants to say, just like I'm not chayev for killing a treifa, if I put a wound on a treifa, I'm also not chayev. He says, he argues, this is inflicting a wound is a tolda subcategory in lacham netilat neshama, like I'm taking away part of the life from it. And a treifa is like into a dead person, killing or wounding a treifa on Shabbos, not a malacha. So the Rebbe wants to expand it to wounding. Wounding is also there. The Tosfos Rid over there disagrees and maintains that a treifa is judged as a living person regarding all matters. He's capable of expecting divorce, marriage, except for the case law, the one law mentioned in Sanhedrin, murderer of a treifa. In other words, other than murdering, he's 100% like a human and everything else. He's of the opinion inflicting a wound on a treifa on Shabbos or murdering him is considered a malacha, and one who does so is subject to the penalty for desecrating Shabbos. So in other words, he's saying like this. The only thing the Gemara is saying is I can't be executed for murdering a treifa. But for all other dinim, the treifa is like a living person. So if I kill the treifa, then I was mechalel Shabbos. And so I can't be executed for killing Reuven, but I could be killed for executing for violating Shabbos. So there's a big machloket now between the Tosfos Rid and the Rebbe. Tosfos Rid holds the treifa is like a person for every din, except for the one din that the Gemara says, which is killing the person and being for capital murder. That I'm not chayav on. And the Rebbe says that I'm not even liable if I wound him on Shabbos. So now the Beis Yitzchak, as Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis, adduces proof to the Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid is the one who wants to say that indeed the treifa is alive for almost every din from our Gemara. Rav Zeira says that one may not slaughter an injured bird on Yom Tov because the suspicion that it's a treifa, the malach of shechita will turn out to be in vain. So he says the Beis Yitzchak asks that according to the Rebbe, even though the bird is a treifa and cannot be eaten, the act of slaughtering it is not a malacha, because the treifa is considered as though it's already dead and is known as a shama. So the Gemara says, am I allowed to shech this bird? Maybe it'll be a treifa. But according to the Rebbe, if it's a treifa, there's no problem in shechting it because it's like the walking dead. So this, the Beis Yitzchak wants to say, is a proof of the Tosfos Rid. That even if the person or the animal is a treifa, you're chai for everything except for the murder if it were by human. It is interesting to note that the Meiri, in explaining Rabbi Zeira, writes that if the bird is the treifa, the slaughter will have in retrospect expended effort in vain. So the Meiri explains differently that if I shecht the, what's the problem with shechting the treifa? Because I'll be purifying the treifa that we had before, similar. Thus, the Meiri indicates the concern concerning the slaughter of an injured bird is not that one might violate the biblical malach of shochet, as Rashi says, but rather rabbinic injunction against tirchei teir, expending needless effort. Accordingly, our Gemara does not present a difficulty to the Rebbe's opinion, because it is not clear in the Gemara that slaughtering a treif on yantiv is a violation of shochet. Possibly, Zera is merely concerned with tirchei teir. In other words, the whole proof of the Beis Yitzchak is that the Gemara says, you know, maybe this bird will turn out to be a treifa, and then I'll shecht it. So Mela, then I'll violate Yom Kippur. So he says, but if the Rebbe is correct, then it shouldn't be that way because it's like the Walking Dead. But the Meiri brings down the problem is no, in Achinami you might not be chayav shokei. That wasn't the issue in the Gemara. So I'll be doing a tircha shein esricha. I'll do the effort, and it's rabbinically prohibited to do a tircha shein esricha. All right. Now let me just do one quick thing about lighting matches on Yontif.
Can I ask a question before you get
okay,
to the lighting matches?
Okay, go ahead quickly. Yeah, quick. Yeah.
So this is a matter of probability. When you get this guy, this thing that's mifar keset, the likelihood is greater that it's a trefa, whereas when you shecht a regular bird on Yontif,
No.
Less
okay.
likely.
Okay, so no, it's not the Mipar Keset, which is it. It's that it went through a traumatic experience, you know, that it was...
therefore, it's Mipar Keset.
That the animal crushed it, or the person, you know, stepped on it, or somebody pounded it against the wall. So initially we're concerned with Risa Kevarim, but now I'm past the Risa Kevarim. But in this instance, I have a chiv to check it for trephis. So normally I don't have a chiv to check an animal for trephis, because the animals, I assume, are kosher. The only thing is, we do check for the lungs, but we don't check for all 18 trephis when we checked an animal. But in this case, I have to check the bird for all the different trephis, because they went through this risk environment. I'm thinking maybe, or it didn't go to the risk environment, it's concerned with the risk environment, but it went through this traumatic experience. I'm concerned that maybe it has one of the trephis. So if my concern is so great that I have to check it for trephis, so maybe I'm not entitled to check it on Yontif because I'm concerned. This is like a high likelihood case. All right. Listen, I'm running out of time. I want to do a lighting match, but I don't have time. Let me do more in the Gemara. Then we get to the next mission. Then maybe we can talk for a few minutes more. Okay. So let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Now we're around 15 lines down, the two dots. Tanya. So Tanya, we learn in the Braisa. Echad may be an or. Now, this is talking about on Shabbos. So one person brings the fire. So Rashi says, like, you have a hot coal. So one person is transporting the hot coal. Echad may be an eitzim. Another person is bringing the wood. Echad shopeid an akteira. One puts the pot on the stove. Echad may be an mayim. One person brings water and puts the water in the pot. Echad notem tofu tavlin, and one person puts spices in it. Echad megis, and one person stirs. Kulan chayavim. They're all chayav on a derisa level. Bechilu shabbos. How so? So the first two, the maybe and or, if I bring the coal, so in the course of bringing the coal like from the wind will light up a little bit more. Some chayav mavir, and bringing the wood means putting the wood on the coals. That's also mavir. Shopinu akter. The Gemara will discuss shortly. The person who brings the water puts the water in the pot, and the one who puts the spices in the pot, and the one who stirs the pot, they're all chayav from mevashel. So everybody's chayav for cooking, and then stirring in halacha is a problem of bishul. Like when you on a Friday night, you shouldn't stir the pot that's on the black. So the Gemara says v'hatanya, we learn in the brisa achron chayav v'kulan p'turin. So the first brisa says everybody's chayav. The second brisa says, in the same fact scenario, only the last person is chayav, everybody else is patur. So the Gemara says, there's no contradiction between the two brises. The first brisa is talking about, I'm like cooking with fire, so to speak. I brought the fire initially. So I bring the fire, I put the wood on, bang, 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 and everybody's chayav. But if I'm bringing the flame at the end, so one person puts wood, he didn't do malacha yet. One person puts the water in the pot, he didn't do malacha. So then the only last one. So the Gemara says, B'shemek kuluka avdi ma'isa. So I understand all of them are chayav for malacha that we went through. What is the person who puts the empty pot on the stove, what is he chayav for doing? So Amr Shimon Laki, Ishaka B'kdeira Charash Askinan. So Ishaka says, we're talking about it's a new pot, a metal pot, I assume a metal pot. Umishum Liban Ra'afim Nagubal. They got into a Liban Ra'afim, meaning like as a result of leaving this pot on the flame, I'm going to be hardening the pot. Now, so hardening the pot is doing a malacha. So that's the way that goes. All right? Any questions, comments, thoughts? No, the second way where I'm going to harden it. Right? So harden them, I'm like, okay, let's see back further in the Gemara. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Tanu Rabbi Kirayim Chadashim. Now, let's say I have a new oven or a Kirayim, is it like a double oven? They're new, but it means even new. So if I have an oven, the oven can also serve as a store box or whatever. So I can move it in a chatzer where there's on Shabbos where there's an Erev. In other words, I can carry there. So it's a keli that I can move on Shabbos because I can use this as storage, you know, room. I'm not allowed to like smear them with oil or to like shine them up with a rag. In other words, it's like getting it ready. I don't think it's the deraisa level, but it's like getting it ready, you know, to be used as a keli. And I shouldn't cool it off in cold water to harden it. So it means this last part would be on yantiv. So let's say I heated the oven up and now I want to put the oven in cold water to harden it. So that I should not do. But if my purpose in hardening it is because I'm ready to bake, that's permissible. So the question is, why is hardening permissible here, not earlier? So the way I saw the article, the husband they gave is, if it's what I'm going to bake right away, then that's viewed as like machshirei ochel nefesh. In other words, I'm hardening it, I'm going to bake immediately. That's it. Earlier, it wasn't immediately. All right? Let me just get to the Mishnah, and then I'll pause, and then we'll take some questions, okay? So, Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Moldin and Arosh Biyad HaRaglayim. You can, like, Molgin is like to not scorch, but to, how does he translate Molgin?
Scald.
Scald, yeah, scald. Okay. So you could scald, you know, because you want to get rid of the hair from the animal. Let's say it's a sheep. So it has a lot of hair coming out of it. So I can scald the head and the feet. In other words, even though the hair is going to come out. So removing the hair from a dead animal, you know, most would be gozes. There's a question whether it would be gozes on a dreisa level or a rabbanon level if the animal is dead. But here, where it's talking about on yantiv, where I'm going to scald it to remove the hair, and then is preparatory towards eating. So it's machshirei ochel, it's like sorek ochel nefesh. He says, umahavin notan b'ur, or I could singe it in the fire, the hair. Aval ein tofu notan b'charsit below b'adama. But I can't use like a type of depilatory. Charsit is like this, like the earthenware that's been crushed into powder, or the adama b'lobasit, or lime. Those would remove the hair on their own. And Rashi says that looks like ibud. Ibud is when you're preparing the hide for, you know, tanning it. It looks like it, but he says, v'ein gozen on top of his barayim. And I can't clip the hair with scissors. And he says, it looks like the Mexican tzarek paseh. It looks like I need the hair. And needing the hair would be close to the malacha. I need the food. He says, v'ein gozen on hayirak b'tisparot shalom. I'm not allowed to trim a vegetable with a special scissors that I use for that. It means I have a vegetable. The vegetable was pulled out of the ground or cut before yantiv, but I don't want to clip away some of the, you know, wilted leaves or whatever, or it's a decayed area. So I'm not allowed to do that with a special scissor. He says, the person who sees me is going to think that I plucked it today. About metakning a kundus v'akbiyot, but I could prepare kundus and akbiyot. Kundus and akbiyot are types of vegetables that there's a lot of Torah to prepare it. I could prepare them in yantiv. Umasikin ofin bapurni. I can heat up and bake in a purni. Is a large oven. There's a lot of tirchen involved with that. By a lot of people, I can. Umechamin chamin baantiki. I can heat up water in the antiki. Also, it's a lot of tirchen with that. He says vein ofin bapurni chadasho shem atifatei. But I can't bake in a new purni because it might break. It might break, and that would be a torah shalom tzora. All right, let me do four more lines and I'll pause. Tana rabbana, we learn the brisa in. Novchin b'mapuach. I can't use bellows to, like, you know, to increase the flame. It was the mapuach. So again, the mapuach, it looks like mechsi ku'uma nose malacha. It looks like a goldsmith or a silversmith or you know, like working. It looks like a weekday activity. Well, novchin b'shofar. I could be nocheach with a tube. That's okay. That's a shinui. But aim attacking the shvod. I'm not allowed to fix the spit. So if you look at Rashi, this is five lines from the bottom in Rashi. In the Tanna Shvod, Udlok Rabbi Yehuda, either does not follow the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Ashiri Ochel Nefesh are permitted on Yantiv, or Inami, or in the alternative, the Nirt Sami Erev Yontiv, the very cold, or it broke on Erev Yantiv. So everybody would agree, I can't fix it on Yantiv. Maybe Tanna Shvod, back in the Gemara, maybe Chadid Noto, I can't sharpen it. Tanna Rabbanan, in Mefatsin Akan of Silvo Baliath, I can't like break the reed to cook the salty fish on it. It was like, I want to like shave off a piece of the reed in order to to fry the salty fish on it. So that's like metakin kli. In other words, the reed now becomes the kli. It's like tikkun kli on yontif. He says, one second. He says, Abal mefatzen and it goes b'matlit, but I could break a nut in a reag, bein choshen shematikara. I don't have to worry that the reag will break. So it either means I'll take the nut in the reag and then crack it like against a hard surface, or I'll bite down on it with the reag. I don't have to worry that maybe the reag would rip. He says, that's not korei al menatlit for. In other words, the main malach is when I rip on it with intent to resew it. He has nothing to do with that. Okay, questions, comments, thoughts from everyone. Let's all go.
When you can't use the scissor on the vegetables, I assume you can use a knife, the same way you could cut a salad?
Yeah, so I would think so as well. He says, on the vegetables. Yeah, so Rashi, let's see the Rashi on that. Where's the Rashi? The fourth wide line in Rashi, very wide line.
He says,
with its scissors, right? She goes in bam and a mechubar, because that's the same scissors you use to like clip it from when it's attached to the ground. So I can't use that clippers. He says, the one who would see me would think that I collected it today. But if it's something you don't use that way, then I would think you would be allowed.
Okay, and if you wanted to clean a chicken to cook on Yontif, like to clean the pencus out?
So I don't see there's any problem with that.
You said it looks like you're doing a hiding job.
No. In other words, that was when you were working with the hide, like removing the hairs from the animal and stuff like that. You were removing it with the pincus, you said?
Yeah. You know, the little feather things from the chicken?
Oh. So the only thing that the Gemara said was... So the Gemara said that you could scald with the animal and singe it, but you can't use like the car seed and the Adam and the Sid. You can't use like things that were similar to Ibud, but as long as it's not similar to Ibud, you're okay. Ibud is like the tanning process. Yeah. Okay, everybody good? Okay, let me do further than the Gemara, and then if I have time, I'll come back to lighting things on Yontif. Okay, everybody good? Okay, all right. What? All right, then we have to let go. If I have a lot of questions, then we won't hear matches, okay? So we'll see how this works out. Okay, now, and I'm just mentioning again, so this Sunday is the Siyum from Masechet Be'ah. So far, we have nothing planned for this, so if nobody comes in, I'm just going to have the Siyum take place on Sunday morning with the Sunday morning group, and that'll be it. All right, let's see further tomorrow. Now, two lines from the bottom. Okay. It is. It's anything's an option. Okay, so two lines from the bottom. So Manithin, Ba'odamar Reb Lezer. Now, if you remember the previous Mishnah, which you had yesterday, so mentioned Reb Lezer had a halacha about muksa. No tilam kisim shalafana laksus boshina. A person could take a toothpick or a piece of wood to clean his teeth. So he says, but Odomar Reb Lezer said another halacha. Now Rashi's bothered that I won't get into every detail, but Ba'od is usually where it came right before. I was like, Reb Lezer, then Reb Lezer said this. But in the way our Mishnah is, we have all these additional halakot that the Chachamim said in between. And if Reb Lezer says halakha, then the Chachamim say a few halakot, then Vodamar Reb Lezer. So Rashi thinks that our Mishnah is mistaken in terms of the way the juxtaposition, that Reb Lezer's statements should be flushed with one another. The Vodamar Reb Lezer, Omeda Damal Muksa. So here, the Muksa is referring to figs and grapes that are drying out. That's what he means by muksa. In other words, I harvest the figs and the grapes and then want them to dry out. So they are muksa in the sense that I don't intend to eat them. But some people at this point in time would eat them. So it depends on whether I designate them that I want to eat them or not. So Vodamar Reblezer, Omeda Damala Muksa, so means on Friday I could stand over the muksa, like these drying out figs, drying out grapes, Erev Shabbat B'Shvi'at, on a Friday during the Shemitah year. This actually is the Shemitah year, so it'd be like a Friday now. Now, the key with Shemitah is there's no Chiv of Trumu Masros in the Shemitah year. So that I'm not involved with Trumu Masros. V'omer Mikan Yochel Machar. A person can say, I'm going to eat from these things tomorrow. Now, here, he's doing two things. One is that he's designating it, And he's not making a specific designation. You know, he's got a whole pile of figs or a whole pile of grapes, and he's saying, from here, I'm going to eat tomorrow. And then through Brera means whatever he takes tomorrow, then it'll be clear that this is what he intended to designate. He says, but Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Ad Shir Shom Yomar Mikavi Akal. The Chachamim say, until you demarcate it and you mark off, like specifically from this spot is where I'm going to eat tomorrow, because the Chachamim don't hold from Brera. And Brera we've had many times before, but just to refresh everybody's collection, means through a later act, it becomes retroactively clear what I meant originally. So Reb Lezer holds, I just have to take it from here, that's fine. And it was, I'm designating certain ones I'm going to be for food for Yantiv, but it won't be clear until tomorrow which ones those are that I'm designating. But in the Chachamim, that doesn't cut it. I have to, you know, actually, you know, designate a specific section. All right? All right. Now for the next sugya, the Gemara gets into an issue about the Trumas and Masros. So with the Trumas and Masros, if I have, like, the crops that are growing, And I'm allowed to eat it before Trumas Masros have been separated, Achilas Aroi. I can have like a snack. I could take a snack from crops that have grown, but I'm not allowed to have Achilas Keva, even though the two requirements of your member is it has to be Nigmar Malachtan, the processing has to be complete, and Re'iyat Pnei Abayin, and it has to see the house. That's in order to be Chayav on a Deraisa level. And then we're going to have Re'iyat Pnei Chatzer. So is machloket among the mafarshim, is Re'iyat Pnei Chatzer the same as the bayit, or it's on a drabanan level that I'm chayev? But either way, if it has Re'iyat Pnei Chatzer also, then I'm definitely chayev. But before then, I'm allowed to have a achilas arayv and not achilas keva. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So we're going to learn a little some mishnah from a second master, subject to connection with our sugya. So line three. So the Gemara says, Tananatam, we learn the mishnah of a second master, Tino Kod, Shetamu Te'enim Erev Shabbat. You have children hid figs on a Friday, meaning that even though by hiding them, figs go through a whole processing, right? I could dry out the figs, and then with the figs, after they're dried out, I could stick them into like a cake, you know, and then I have the igulei debela, I have like the fig cake. But here, the kids, by hiding these figs, are indicating that as far as they're concerned, we're going to eat it, and we're going to eat it on Shabbos. Okay, that's for the kids. So, Tino Kodesh Tamnu Te'enim Erev Shabbat, the Shachachu Velo Isru, they forgot to take Maaser from it, L'motzei Shabbat Lo Yachlu Velo Kein Isru. On Motzei Shabbat, they can't eat it unless they take Maaser. So the Gemara is going to explain that we don't know this yet. So here you have Nigmara Malachtan, but it's not, it didn't have Re'iyat Pnei Abayit. In other words, you have two requirements. It has to be Nigmara Malachtan, the processing has to be complete, and then it has to have Re'iyat Pnei Abayit. So before then, though, I'm allowed to snack on it. I'm not allowed to have Achilas Keva with it. So they just have these figs. But the Gemara says, this is Nigmar Malachan, because they intend to eat it. But the Gemara hasn't explained it yet, but the Shabbos, the fact that they intend to eat it on Shabbos is the fact that I'm designated to eat it on Shabbos, that's the equivalent of Achilas Keva. We'll see why in the Gemara. But if I'm intend to eat on Shabbos, that's Achilas Keva by definition. So Mela, they're having Achilas Keva with it. So Mela, now they have to take the Trumas and Masros from it. So it says in Kena Isro, Utna Nami, we learn another Mishnah. It says Hamavir Te'enim Bechatziro. So there, let's go slowly. So here I have a case. So the first case is that it's Nigmar Malachtan, but it hasn't seen Re'iyat Pnei Abayit. But Shabbos is going to be Koveya Melin Al Machayat. In other words, Shabbos is the equivalent of Re'iyat Pnei Abayit. That's what the Gemara is saying. Then, Utananami, we learn another Mishnah, Amavir Te'ena Bechatzero. I transport figs in my Chatzer Lekatzot. I want to dry out the figs. So the members of his household can eat Achilles Rai, and they're Patur from Trumas and Masrot, because this is not, in other words, it's not Nigmara Malachtan. It's not Nigmara Malachtan. So they can eat it up to the Saroi. So Bayamine Rava made Rav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, Shabbat Mosh Tikva Muksa Lamaser. Now, what about Shabbos? Can Shabbos be Kubeya Muksa for Maaser? So Muksa means that the figs that have not yet been completed their processing. So Shabbos Mosh Tikva Muksa Lamaser. Can Shabbos be Kubeya on, in other words, the first Mishnah we had was Nigmar Malachta. The second Mishnah is lo nigra malachtan, because it's being set out to dry. So it's lo nigra malachtan. So there, the Mishnah says that the family can eat it, they can snack on it, they can eat it as a rye. So he's asking, what about if I intend to eat it on Shabbos? Does that make me chayiv in terms of maaseros? He says, Shabbos moshti for muks lemaaser, b'davar shlo nigra malachto. Me and Rinan came into Tiva Karat l'Shabbat Oneg Kava. Do I say, since the Pasuk says, you should call Shabbos an Oneg, it means a delight. So Kava, meaning that the Torah is saying that there's a chashivus to any eating you do on Shabbos, rather. So four lines of the work against White and Rashi. Came into Tiva Karat l'Shabbat Oneg. Came into Ikri Achil the Oneg. Since eating on Shabbos is called an Oneg, a delight, he says, Kava, She'im ba'od she'im aroyal she'im keva. In other words, it's a whole chashivas. It's like eating on Shabbos. That's achilas keva. So now it's achilas keva. So he says, do I say it's kava? And then back in the Gemara, but people's bar shlo nigra malachto. Even maybe Shabbos is so important. Even lo nigra malachto, it's koveya. Odilma, but bar shlo nigra malachto kava. Bar shlo nigra malachto lo kava. Or maybe Shabbos can only do so much. So if it's nigra malachto, and then they have Shabbos, so then I say, yeah, you're right. That's koveya. But if it's not even nigra malachto, nah, that's the question. So Amar Leh, this is the question that Rava asked Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Amar Leh, Shabbat kovad, maybe the barsh nigra malachto, maybe the barsh lo nigra malachto. He says, Shabbos is the ultimate koveya. It's koveya with nigra malachto or lo nigra malachto. You designate food to eat on Shabbos, it's in a whole different parsha. So Amar Leh, so Rabbi said back to him, the aim is Shabbat Dumi de Chatzer. Maybe I could say that Shabbos is just like the Chatzer, meaning, in other words, if it's Nimra Malakto, and then I bring it into the Chatzer, then I'm Chayiv and Shubas Maestro. So maybe Shabbos, like with the kids, they had to tain him the figs out in this field or whatever, they hid it. But Shabbos is like a Chatzer. So as far as the kids are concerned, Nimra Malakto. And then Shabbos, they're going to eat on Shabbos, so that's like the Chatzer. He says, "Av Shabbat lo tikra levarsh nigra malachto." Maybe Shabbos is only, it has to be nigra malachto. So Amar Leh, so Rav Nachman said back to Rava, he says, "Limud aruchu biyadenu shabbat kovad." Maybe the varsh nigra malachto, maybe the varsh lo nigra malachto. He says, "We have the way the Shita Mekubeset understands it. We have Mesorah that Shabbos is koveya with the nigra malachto lo nigra malachto. Meaning, if I designate food to be eaten on Shabbos, so now all bets are off, and now I'm chayiv in Trumas and Masros. Okay, that's even though it's lo nigra malachto, and it says even though it didn't see Rei Panei Abayit, if I'm eating on Shabbos, it's in a whole different getter. All right, now what? Okay, now Amar Mar Zutra Rei Rav Nachman. So my Zutra, the son of Rav Nachman, says Afanan Amitani. So my Zutra is trying to bring a proof to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says Shabbos is the ultimate koveya. He says, we have a proof from our Mishnah that that's the case. He says, because we learned in our Mishnah, V'odomar Reb Lezer, that Reb Lezer said, Omeid Adam al Muksa, a person can stand on the Muksa, which is these drying figs. He says, Erev Shabbat B'Shviat, on a Friday in the Shemitah year. So we said, and I could designate the food to be eaten on Shabbos, because there's no Chi of Trumas and Masros in the Shemitah. So the only thing I have to do is designate it. So I designated it. So I'm good. Tama de Shviat. So the reason I'm allowed to eat it, because it's a Shemitah year. The Labar Yisurehu. There's no Maaser in the Shemitah year. Habisharshne Shavua. But Lu Yetzur, this would take place in any of the other years of the Shemitah cycle. Hachinami de Asur. Then presumably it would be prohibited, because I'd be chayiv in Trumas and Masros. My Tama. Why would that be the case? La mishum de Shabbat kava. In other words, so why is it that the Mishnah sets up a case where he's on a Friday night on a Shabbos and he says, you know, this food I'm going to eat from tomorrow, so I can eat from tomorrow? Why is the Tana teaching me this case with Shabbos? Well, in other words, the Mishnah is trying to teach me a case basically where in a sugya about muksa, what's muksa, what's not muksa on Shabbos, on Yantu. So, or Shabbos either. So if you want to just teach me muksa, he doesn't have to teach me with with craps on a Friday night. He could say, like, I have birds, you know, when I'm designated the bird, I'm going to eat on Yantin, whatever. So why is he supposed to think about Shabbos? The Stama, we think the Tana is trying to teach me that, yeah, if it's a Shabbos when it's during on Shemitah, so there's no chiyuv of a Trumas Masra, I can eat it. But Lo Yatzur is a Shabbos on any other year, then I'm chayv of Trumas Masra, because Shabbos is Koveya. So if that's the case, then I have a proof to Rav Nachman. So the Gemara answers Lo. No, it's not necessarily a proof. Shani Hatam, it could be that the case in the Mishnah is different. Came into Amar Mikanan Yochel Lamachar Kabbalah Yilavei. You're right. It is the point is it's different on Shemitah than non-Shemitah, but you assume what's different is because Shabbos would be Koveya. Maybe Shabbos is not Koveya, and the reason it's Koveya is because he says, Mikanan Yochel Lamachar. From here, I'm going to eat tomorrow. So when I make that statement, from here, I'm going to eat tomorrow, I'm getting a lot of chashivas to the food. And Mamela, now that's like achilas keva. That could be the key thing. So the Gemara says, Ihachi ma'iri Shabbat, afilu b'chol nami. So if that's the case, and the key is that he says, Mikana ni mochel mahar, so why does the Tana get us involved with Shabbos? He just have that non-Shabbos case where, you know, I'm thinking of eating something, and I say, Mikana ni mochel mahar, I'm going to eat from here. That's it. The Gemara says, "Hakamash Malon." What the Tana is trying to teach me is the Tevel Muchan who eats a Shabbat Shuvar V'Tiknam with Tukan. He wants to say that even if it's Shabbos, and let's say it would be that it's Tevel, so I'm not allowed to take Trumas and Masros from it. But Lu Yatzur, somebody did take the Trumas. In other words, if somebody's Tevel, on a Drabanan level, I'm not allowed to take Trumas and Masros on Shabbos. But on a Deraisa level, I could take Trumas and Masros on Shabbos. So I would think that this comes under a category of Muksa Machman Isur, because, in other words, even though I'm designated to be eating from it, but Trumas and Masros have to be taken from it. So I would think that this is going to be Muksa for me, even if somebody comes and illicitly violates the Halacha and takes out the Trumas and Masros. So he's teaching me here the case by Shabbos, teach me in Achinami, so if I do this in a Shemitah year, so then I have a complete green light. But if it's not a Shemitah year, the point is that it would not be, if somebody then came and violated the Halacha and took out the Trumas and Masros, it would not be a case of Muksa. I would be allowed to eat it. That's the Halacha that he wants to teach me. So he says, this is the woman, let me listen to the Rashi, he says, yeah, he says, if the Tana would hold that Easter Muksa it attaches to it or permanently, he would teach, Ha'omil Muksa Erev Shabbat B'Shmiyah, Be'omir Mikanani Yochel Makar, Ha'reizim Min HaMuchan, V'Tekinim Inah HaBashar Shashwein Min HaMuchan. In other words, if it would be only limited to that year, the Mishnah would say, Ha'reizim Min HaMuchan. In other words, if it's a Shemitah year, I designate it, Ha'reizim Min HaMuchan. But the Tana doesn't have that language in it. So since Tana doesn't have that language in it, so then from there I'm able to extrapolate that indeed if somebody violated Halacha and separated the Trumas and Masros, so then it's not Muksa. All right, that's the best I have with this, okay? All right, now let me do a few pieces.
When you say Nigmara Melachto, is that the smoothing of the piles?
Well, if it would be grain, it would be the smoothing of the piles. Here we're dealing with figs, so there's no pile with the figs. With the figs, Nigmara Melachto depends on where I intend. So the figs first I snip them, then I dry them out. I could eat the raw way, I could dry them out. And then after the dried out, then I stick them together in a fig cake. So it depends where I want to end the process. That's Nigmara Melachto when I complete it that way. All right, let me talk about creating a fire on Yantiv, and then we'll talk. So we said, the Mishnah said, I'm not allowed to create a fire on Yantiv. And Rashi's answer was that it was molded. So the since the Raivan indicates that the Isur molded mentioned in our Gemara is essentially a muksa-based Isur, similar to the Isur of eating an egg that was laid on Yantiv. He says that the fire being a new entity created on Yantiv is muksa, since it was not in existence and not designated for use before Yantiv. That's the Raivan says. Then the Taz, based on his understanding of the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah, is of the opinion that creating a new fire yantiv is forbidden min haTorah under the Isur of Havara. He says, even though cooking and igniting a fire for the sake of Ochel Nefesh is permitted on yantiv, igniting a new fire is forbidden because it falls under the category of Machshiri Ochel Nefesh of Sharlos Tamei Etmol. In other words, creating the fire is a Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, but even Rabbi Yehuda holds it's only permitted if I couldn't have done it yesterday. But creating the fire, I could have done before yantiv. He says, since one does not benefit directly from a new fire, it's considered only Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, preparatory food malacha. Is a preparatory food malacha, which could have been done before yantiv, is forbidden on yantiv. Now, the letter of their authorities discuss igniting a fire on yantiv with matches. The Sefer Kerem Chemed, based on his rudimentary understanding of matches, a new innovation in his day. So I don't know when matches came out. I assume it was the 19th century, I assume. He says, reason that unlike other forms of creating fire, when it strikes a match, merely exposes a pre-existing flame that is dormant in the match's sulfur tip. In other words, they used to have sulfur at the end of the matches. So he says, therefore, he said that striking a match is not constant moly, creating a new flame, and is permitted. That's the way he thought. He says, the Ben Ishkai, Saf Sofer, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and many of the authorities conclude that striking a match in yantiv is forbidden. They argue that the sparks of fire created by striking a match is identical to the sparks of fire created by striking two stones next to combustible material. So that's the way everybody holds today. I can't strike a match. Now, a similar dispute is reported in regard to opening a switch for electrical appliance on yantiv. Now, let's say, am I allowed to turn on a light switch on yantiv? You know, I can tell you right now, I think the Aruch HaShulchan passes, you can. That's the way I remember. The Aruch HaShulchan lived around 1900. He held that you could put on a light on yantiv. 1 minute. So some authorities in the early part of the 20th century understood one opens a switch, he means like you put the switch on and completes the circuit. He's merely allowing electrical current present in the wires to continue flowing. Therefore, they compared opening a switch to igniting a fire from an existing fire, and they thought that it should be permitted on yantiv with Tzorach Ochel Nefesh. So, but again, so it would be for any yantiv need. He says, all later authorities, however, ruled that putting on electrical appliances is forbidden. They explained that by completing the circuit, one creates a new electrical current and is akin to igniting a new flame. So the key is it like creating a new, is it like creating a new flame, or is it just like, you know, doing a flame from an existing flame? So that's those. Some people thought originally it's like creating a flame from an existing flame, but in the end they conclude it's like creating a new flame. All right, now. No. I think with the smart switch you're talking about is working with Grama. With Grama, right? It's working with Grama. Grama. What? Yeah, I think it's working with the idea of Grama. Okay, now. All right, now let me just do here. Let me get a sheet. 1 second. Okay, now. There's another piece here. We'll do for a few more minutes, and I hope everybody will stay for Mariv.
So therefore, if, for example, you have the radio on, and to move it up and down, you're not doing anything new in terms of that.
You mean changing the channel or adjusting the volume?
Let's say adjusting the volume.
Just
or
the volume.
Anything along those lines. How is that different?
So, Justin, I don't know. I don't know, but I wouldn't recommend listening to a radio on yantiv. Okay. And I don't think so today. Okay, now. All right. Now, he talks about the mitzvah of oneg yantiv. So there's a big chiddush that the Abu Draham brings down. He says that you shouldn't make a bracha on yantiv candles. When you light the yantiv candles, the Abu Draham wants to say you don't recite a bracha on them. He says lighting candles on Shabbos Zechova, that's part of Oneg Shabbos. We saw in the Pasuk had Oneg Shabbos. But lighting the Nair on yantiv, the Minag is not to make a bracha, he says, because since it's not a mitzvah and a chova like Shabbos, but yantiv, Oneg yantiv, we don't see this mitzvah Oneg yantiv. That's what he wants to say. So candles he associates with Oneg. Oneg means that you make an enjoyable Shabbos. Like usually we say it relates to eating, but in other words, so Shabbos and like the candles relates to the Oneg, but he wants to say there's no mitzvah of Oneg yantiv. So since no mitzvah of Oneg yantiv, there's no mitzvah to make the bracha, according to Abu Draham. Now, in our sugya, we learn that there's a mitzvah to be ma'anik Shabbos. It says, quote, the bracha Shabbat Oneg. And besides being explained from the Navi, somebody showed him hold the ikar of the mitzvah is from the Torah. Now, the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos impacts on the eating of Shabbos, like our Gemara says. It's the mitzvah of a person to be ma'anik his guf, and, and therefore with food, therefore, even though you're allowed to eat achilat arai, that aren't moose. The moose on Shabbos is asur because the achil on Shabbos is kashuva, and I can't call it achil aroi. I can't call eating on Shabbos achil aroi. Yeah, but by yantiv, the Gemara doesn't mention any mitzvah of oneg, and there's machloket rishonim about this. Now, I don't. You know, I'm going to make this short because we're running out of time. But let me just come back to this.
Isn't it simchat yantiv?
So there is a mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv, but Simchas Yantiv is different than Oneg Yantiv. Now, the question is, even Lu Yatsur, that there would be a mitzvah of Oneg Yantiv, assuming that there is a mitzvah of Oneg Yantiv, he says the women should make the bracha because they're not mitzvah of a davar. In other words, he says that, in other words, I would think that just like all Mrs. Shabbos and Yantiv, women are the same as men. Like by Kiddush, even though it's Mrs. Shabbos and Grama, so two women should be chayav and oneg Yantiv. But the Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in the Sefer, means Shas Shubas, that a woman is not chayav and oneg Yantiv because it's Mrs. Shabbos and Grama. In other words, let's say by Kiddush, because I'll teach us Shamor B'Zachor, including Zachor. So women are chayav and Kiddush. But Rabbi Kiva wants to say that even the mitzvah of Kiddush, women are not chayav on Yantiv, he wants to say. He says, it's only by Shabbos we have a special drasha that women are chayav on it. All right, listen, I'm going to have to break off because it's getting a little closer. Okay, I'm sorry, but the bottom line is that we do make a bracha, but Sfarim have more of a problem making a bracha. If you go with the Malach of Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's a mitzvah. So women for Ashkenazim who make a bracha, even if I say they're not obligated, but whatever they want to do mitzvah, they can do the mitzvah. So they could make the bracha, but according to Sfarim, they can't make a bracha. Go like Ruth Rebbe Kivega. Okay, I got to end the recording now. Okay, I'm sorry. No, that was just a...